Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here you go. Cheesesteak. That's the nothing personal word of the day. It is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024, and we are back live on the Nothing Personal with David Sampson YouTube channel. Thanks for being with us. We were in Philadelphia last night. Sarah's here, Coke is here, I'm here. And we were there only a few hours ago. First live show. I got a few takeaways from that. First of all, thank you to everyone who came and all the people who did the meet and greets at the end. I loved meeting everyone and taking photos and talking to people. It was a funny show. We're going to try to release at some point this weekend. Ostensibly, in theory, it was taped audio and video. We just don't know for sure. City Winery was a great host. The tour continues on next week on Monday in Atlanta on April 8th. I believe Juju Gotti will be on stage with me for a segment, which will be fun. And I believe Dan Uggla will be on stage for a segment as well in Atlanta on Monday the 8th. And then we go to Boston on the 10th. We learned a lot about doing nothing personal at night, and then in the morning, and then the morning after. And we learned that there's enough going on that there is no shortage of things to talk about. I think the coolest part for me, though, was just seeing the audience and sitting there for 90 minutes and talking to them and having that intimate moment. Every day I'm with you all, and it's great, but there's no one here. I'm talking into just a camera. And there's something awfully interesting, though far scarier, when you're talking to people and actually getting a reaction. Because now I make up my reactions. All I get is negative if Coca says, move on, or that wasn't funny, or whatever else he would say in my ear. But generally, it's just talking into the abyss. When there's an audience, you get reaction, which can be good or can be bad. And I thought last night was great. I think the best reaction is we were in Philadelphia talking about Bryce Harper's struggle, and Bryce Harper hit three home runs all during, I believe, Coca, the Grand Slam certainly was during the actual live show, and I believe that it's possible all three of his home runs were while we were live for the full hour and a half, which we were. It was an hour and a half show. What is today? Wednesday. See, the numbers came out. That was interesting for Iowa LSU. I'm obsessed with numbers just as a math person, but I also understand that the ratings game is a PR game. Major League Baseball would do something funny. When we would get the numbers for even a Saturday Fox game or the nightly numbers for an RSN, I really want you to pay attention to the press releases that are done by baseball. They're awesome. And what I want you to look for is specific things. Most watched program of the night. That's a popular one during the summer when you're going against absolute crap, and it doesn't mean your numbers are good at all, but you get to say most watched program of the night. We're not telling you anything. If that's our lead, it's not ideal. Up 6% from 2021. That's a popular one. Percents are funny. If you have a terrible rating, you can be up a lot of percent and you still have a terrible rating. That's like if you get a 50 on a final exam out of 100, and then you go home the next year and you say, hey, I did 50% better. Way to go. You got a C. So it's all how you frame it. And what we looked for with numbers for World Series, as an example, is you add them up. overall, the number of people who watched the World Series, 45 million people watched the World Series. Of course, it took five games, but let's not quibble over stats. LSU and Iowa drew 12.3 million people. I will put that in perspective for you. I'm not sure there's been a game on ESPN other than NFL who's gotten more than 12.3 million, including college basketball. Every single college football game, college football, the number one sport that networks are made of. Women's basketball had more eyeballs in an Elite Eight game than every college football game played last year, other than the CFP, Ohio State, Michigan, and the SEC championship. That's it. And I believe, Coca, last year, the CFP is only three games. Two semis and a final, if that's right. You can tell me if I'm wrong. Plus OSU, Michigan, and the SEC championship. That's five games out of all of the college football games. And here's where it gets a little dicey. The NBA, a league where people assume they're doing way better than Major League Baseball. Way more eyes on the NBA. Guess what? Caitlin Clark v. Angel Reese and Kim, Coach Kim. There it is. It is 8:06. And I lost it, Sarah. She and I were talking in Philadelphia last night, and I just can't remember the name. Mulkey, thank you. 12.3 million people watched them a couple nights ago. That's more than any NBA game last year, except game five of the finals. The final game when the Nuggets beat the Heat had more than 12.3 million. Every other NBA game, LeBron, doesn't matter. Curry, doesn't matter. Every last one of them. And then you get to the part that I don't know how to workshop, but I just wouldn't mention it were I to be in baseball. And it's the reason I pay attention to the numbers, is that the 12.3 million people who watched Caitlin Clark, that's more than any Major League Baseball game, including the World Series. Not one World Series game had more than 12.3 million people. Now I can get into why. And I could give you a PR firm that would give me four paragraphs and I could ask for it and get it within 1 hour. And we could talk about how the fact that right now ratings are counted differently than at any point in previous history. They're counting bars, they're counting televisions, on top of televisions, out of home viewing, in home viewing, side home viewing. It's way more accurate than Nielsen, but not as reflective or more reflective. Whatever it is, I could come up with myriad reasons to make me feel better about the fact that women's college basketball or men's college basketball or college football men's or the NBA or anything but the NFL. Here was the rule in general. We'll be outrated by the NFL. We wave the white flag. It's not white handkerchief today, so that was silly. We wave the white flag to the NFL, but not to the other sports. And so when these sorts of numbers happen, it becomes devastating. And what happens is, you then sit down and inside the commissioner's office, they have the following conversation. It is critical for this year's World Series to not be the Rangers against the Diamondbacks. It is critical for this year's World Series to have the Dodgers in it, because once the Dodgers are in the World Series, you will be getting more than 12.3 million households watching, and you will then be able to say that you are no longer being outwatched by college basketball, women's edition. Believe me, those conversations are actually happening. A more interesting conversation that is currently taking place is in the halls of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Royals. Yesterday, we told you about a ballot measure that was voted on by the people in Jackson County, whether or not to do a brand new sales tax lasting 40 years from now, half penny, to fund renovations to Arrowhead and a brand new downtown stadium for the Royals. We told you that Travis Kelce, I guess they should have gotten Taylor Swift. Spoiler alert, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes doing commercials. This is what's best for you, the people of Kansas City. And I say it that way because I don't know if they're talking about the people of Kansas City, Missouri, the people of Kansas City, Kansas. I'm just going to say Kansas City, and you can discern the difference should there be one. maybe he's talking about everybody in Kansas City. So they went to a vote yesterday, and it was a shellacking. It was not too close to call. It was called early by CNN. That'd be funny if CNN, like election night, if CNN had election day coverage. What's the guy's name on TV who's got that amazing map behind him where he touches it? If this goes red and then he swipes to the county, let's dig a little deeper. There are 14 precincts that haven't responded. And go back to 2016, those precincts had 979 people against 69 people blue. So that'll be blue. Remember that guy? He's got gray hair now. I can't think of his name. That'd be so good, Coca. That's too much even to ask of you. But I promise you there's a guy who's got a really cool board that he uses on one of the stations. And it may not be CNN. And if they had that for the ballot in Kansas, in Missouri City. Because they would just end the show. They'd go to commercial. What does it mean? Before I tell you how the owner of the Royals and the president of the Chiefs reacted, I want to remind you that the president of the Chiefs, ever so giving of content to Nothing Personal, wanted to make sure the people of Kansas City heard him loudly, clearly, and with great resoluteness. We'll have to examine all options. Relocation's on the table. And I said, horse hockey. Here's the thing about public ballots for public money. You don't win them. You don't do them unless you're really forced to do them. Unless you're going for a revenue stream that requires a public vote. And the general playbook for financing stadiums, publicly, privately, is avoid the ballot at all costs. The reason to avoid the ballot is that you will spend a ton of money and still lose. So I'm not surprised. What I don't want is for the owner of the Royals or the Chiefs to tell you that now they are going to regroup. They're going to give some thought about what's next. I thought to myself, that can't be the comment because there is no professional sports executive who going into the vote last night would not have spent the previous 4 weeks thinking about the alternate universe of what to do when the ballot fails. And I said, when, not if. I don't want to believe that Donovan and Sherman are not intelligent. I want to believe they knew they were going to lose and therefore they were ready to roll. Ready to pivot. If they get the ballot and they get the penny tax, the half penny tax, everyone lives happily ever after. But you know that stadium deals are clumsy. They have ups and downs and turns and twists. So the best that John Sherman, the owner of the Royals, came up with, plenty of time to workshop this. We respect the voters of Jackson County and the results of the election today. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe since Trump, that's become a thing. I don't know. That's do we want to recount? Do we not respect? I don't know why we say that. But anyway, I digress. We will take some time to reflect on and process the outcome. I'm sorry. What have you been doing for the past several months? You've only been assuming you're going to win? So now you're going to take time. Here's what you do when you lose a ballot. You're ready with the announcement immediately. The announcement is, in the alternative situation where this ballot would not pass, we have another funding mechanism that we have been speaking to the officials about in Kansas, Missouri, etc. And we will be giving you full details shortly, but suffice it to say, our primary goal remains the same, keeping the teams in Kansas City. Those are the messages I want out there. Not, we will take some time to reflect on and process the outcome. And then he finished the sentence with, and find a path forward that works for the Royals and our fans. Uh-oh, is it the same path forward? Sometimes isn't there a path that's good for the team and not good for the fans? Is there ever a path that's good for the fans and not for the team? Yeah, no public financing. That'd be a path that's good for the fans, bad for the team. But doing it that's good for the team and the fans, that sounds a lot like a public-private partnership. And funny enough, there were so few people, Coca told me yesterday. I want to say only 52,000 votes, which was outrageous if that's true. And that's strategic to do a ballot. You try to do it when there's not a big turnout, because the more people who turn out, the worse you're going to lose. So in a presidential election, you don't add that to the ballot because more people vote. And then you'd lose like 71 to 29. But that said, listen to the words carefully. He said that works for the Royals and our fans. Mark Donovan, the president of the Chiefs, had a slightly different take. He's a little more angry. We feel we put forth the best offer for Jackson County. We will now look to do what is in the best interest of our fans and our organization as we move forward. Same thing, not ready to announce, which is crazy, especially when he doubled down on the fact that now we're going to explore all avenues. So he calmed down a little bit, but he did put fans before organization. Remember, when you're doing a statement, order counts. John Sherman, we want something that works for Royals and fans. Mark Donovan said, we want something that works for fans and Chiefs. He put fans first. That's like when you win the World Series. I've told you, when you're thanking people, you start with the fans, always. I did a live show last night. The first thing you do, you thank the people who went there. You thank the audience, the fans. Then you move on to Coca. 76,000 people can fit in Arrowhead and do. I'm not sure, instead of doing a commercial, what I would have done if I were the Chiefs is get everyone who goes to a game to vote. And of course, you're going to say, but David, there's people who come from out of the county. There's people who come from out of town. There's a lot of tourists, as though the team's in Vegas, where they're going to get 40% of capacity from tourists going to games. Yeah, whatever. But over the course of, quick math here, 76, you've got 10 home games, 8 plus 2 preseason. Just call it 760,000 people. You can't find 50,000 of them to vote yes on a half penny sales tax that already existed that you're just going to extend for another 30 years. I wonder what the mayor had to say. Mayor Quentin Lucas. The people of Kansas City and Jackson County love the Chiefs and the Royals. But today, they rejected plans and processes they found inadequate. Way to talk to your constituents. I like that. Because what people had said was, I don't understand why we're giving millions to a billionaire. The billionaire should give billions to us. It's the most tired statement of all time in these stadium financing arguments. The number of billionaires who get funding from you already in Kansas City would shock you. It would blow your mind. I don't know how to be more clear on any more episodes. The amount of tax incentives that corporations get, non-sports teams in your city, in your community, just no one talks about it. It's not below the fold material. Forget above the fold. Old reference to newspaper. It is simply a fact of life, Blair. Over the months ahead, the mayor said, I look forward to working with the Chiefs and Royals to build a stronger, more open, and collaborative process that will ensure the team stay here for generations to come. I can't tell if that's an F you to the Royals and the Chiefs, or if his PR person just wrote it that way. Stronger deal, okay. More open, does that mean more open with the fans? Does that mean you want disclosure? You're a politician, you don't do disclosure. You must mean more open with the teams. Collaborative, you don't mean with the fans. Politicians don't collaborate with their constituents. They get your vote and then they do their job. They operate the government. I wonder if he means collaborative with the Chiefs and Royals, or is that code word for what the mayor just should have said is, hey, clearly they're gonna need to put in more money. That would have been a much easier statement. So they're a little despondent in Kansas City right now. The Royals. How are the Royals doing this year? Season has started. I'm looking live. You are looking live at me looking live at Kansas City 2-3. Not bad. Plus five run differential. 1-2 at home, 1-1 on the road. Well ahead of the Chicago White Sox by a game, only 2.5 behind the undefeated Detroit Tigers. Maybe John Sherman's focused on that. Maybe the next meeting they'll have is they'll say, hey, if we have a good year, we'll get a good deal. I was told that when we won the World Series in 03, done. You got yourself a stadium. I was told that on parade day. You got yourself a stadium. They were right. It just took 9 years after winning the World Series. So as despondent as they are in Kansas City, how are they feeling in Washington, D.C.? Train we took last night to Philly was continuing on to Washington, D.C. I had moments of nervousness and discomfort in my tummy, and I thought I could just stay on the train and go to D.C. It's only another hour and a half away, and I love D.C. Visit some friends. See if I can track down Ted. See how excited he was for the big council meeting that took place yesterday, the big vote. And guess what? He won. Ted Leonsis, the owner of the Capitals and the Wizards, pivoted away from Virginia and the $2 billion development deal where they had that huge press conference where Governor Youngman had his arm around Ted, Ted had his arm around him, and it was kumbaya, my Lord. They were in love. They were moving that team to Virginia, and it was a done deal, and D.C. was in the lurch. They left D.C. so fast your head would spin. Until someone said, I think her name was Senator Lucas, said, you know what? This deal's not so good for people in Virginia. I don't think we're going to let this pass. It didn't pass. So Ted said, uh-oh, what now? Runs back to D.C., and like any jilted lover, they opened their arms and said, come on home. Come back. We miss you so. He went on a podcast, Ted did, on the Front Office Sports Today podcast. I've done that one. It's a good podcast. He actually gave a quote on this podcast. I wonder whether there's any preparation, anything. Does anyone talk to owners before they talk just to give them a few clues, a little roadmap? He said that the mayor of D.C., who's someone named Muriel Bowser, overcame, quote, in an integrated way, all of our objections. And so it just felt natural to get there on how they got to a deal. Shh. What do you do when your real life exceeds most people's fantasy life? The answer is so perfectly put in Broadcast News by James Brooks. You keep it to yourself. It's a great lesson. Do you really want to get out there that the mayor did nothing but give, and give till it hurts in order to get you back because you may have been leveraging that the whole time? Did you know that Virginia wasn't going to happen? You used Virginia's leverage to get D.C. to bend over to give in the way they did? Or did you really think you had a deal in Virginia and didn't realize you had a vote left and realized that getting through a state vote is way more difficult than a D.C. council vote? Remember, this is the same area that was happy to build a baseball stadium. Here's the funniest part about the Capitals and Wizards win last night. In true stadium financing fashion, there's no agreement yet. Ted said, now that we got the money, we're going to roll up our sleeves and try to get a deal in the next 45 days. I wonder what could go wrong after he buttered up the mayor and said, you overcame all of our objections. Wait a minute. Sorry. In the next 45 days, I'm going to be outlining 29 things that I'd like you to get back to me on in fewer than 69 days. And I'm going to need you to go 29 for 29 because I complimented you on how you overcome every one of our objections. We're going to want development rights around the Capital One Arena. We're going to want an absolute redo with all revenue going to us, and we're going to make it so the rich people are going to pay even more than they pay. We're going to make politicians disclose night after night. They're going to want to be there so often. Here's the thing. There's no deal. It's so good. It's so good. I'm going to do a wait to see here, Coke, if that's okay. Wait to see is when I tell you something's going to happen. If it does, great. If it doesn't, great. We'll revisit it. Like I get to revisit the wait to see from just yesterday. Framber Valdez. This was such a give me. Framber Valdez will not walk six batters like he did in his first start. Well, he didn't. And we got that wait to see right. Book it. Count it. It does totally count, Coca. The wait to see is about the deal in DC. The agreement they have to come up with in 45 days. It said a final term sheet will be developed over the next 45 days. Today is April 3rd. By April 48th, which some of you use a calendar where that would be May 18th. So, wait to see. There will be no done deal by April 48th or by May 18th. I'm not saying there won't be a deal in DC. I'm saying it won't be done in 45 days. Do you know how fast 45 days goes when you are trying to negotiate a deal? So look for that. Wait to see, Coco. We'll revisit that on May 18th. Oh, we'd have to revisit it actually on May 19th because maybe May 18th at 11:59 p.m. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to update you on what happened in Oakland. Another publicly financed building, another stadium issue with another bit of news that will make you smile. And we are going to review an Oscar nominee for Best Documentary that I'd like you to watch. So stay tuned for that after the break. The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. From what you've seen so far, do you think they'll be a first-time winner of the NBA championship? If the Pacers, Clippers, Suns, Magic, Pelicans, or T-Wolves win, you win at plus 650. That's six teams to root for, six chances to win. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SAMSON. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SAMSON, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Welcome back to Nothing Personal with David Sampson. Please tell your friends about us. We are spreading the word one person at a time, and you're helping. And it manifests itself with these live shows we're doing. Please, if you're in the Atlanta area, come watch our show. We will have fun for an hour and a half this coming Monday at City Winery. We should be able to do an X through the Philadelphia one. That one's done. And then next week, we'll also be in Boston. So much to talk about with Atlanta sports scene and the Boston sports scene. So much. So come listen to that. In the meantime, we love that you watch us every day at 8 a.m. and on DraftKings Network at 10 a.m. One of the funny parts about being on DraftKings Network is that Coca has a checklist of things that he has to remind me of before the show because he knows that sometimes I can forget what day it is or what we're talking about. And now he's forced every day to say, don't forget, David, we're now on the television network. You've got to be careful. I've always treated that we're on the television network because the YouTube audience, I've always had great respect and I try not to swear. There are shows in the Metalock universe that they swear a lot. I am not into that. Once in a while, something happens and I'll say the S word. Not that often. So I watched To Kill a tiger sometime in the last week. I don't remember what day because I can't remember for a moment. It is Wednesday. Not doing Levitard today. I'll be doing Levitard. I believe they asked me to do Friday's show, not today's show. We are recording sporting class. Look for that to be released on Friday. And then I'm heading out to LA. I will still do a show tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. And then you can look if you want to watch the Rich Eisen show. You may see this mug in a different outfit. So I watched the final documentary feature that I had not seen. And I believe if I go back to Live from the Stained Carpet, where we did get to speak to the winners, three people won that bracket. I don't remember what won best documentary feature. 20 Days in Mariupol, I believe won. Here's what To Kill a Tiger is. An unthinkable crime was committed against a minor girl in a town in India. And this is a documentary about the father of the girl who seeks justice for his daughter. In a community where justice is not exactly the number one goal of anyone in the community. And I mean the tight-knit community, the small community. The documentary so perfectly shows you what life is like and how lucky we are. It shows you the struggles. It shows you don't take water for granted. Don't take food for granted. You can still be great love in a family. A bond between a father and a daughter can be as great no matter where you are. And that's the beautiful thing about being a parent is it's not about how much money you have. It's about how much love you give. When your child is the victim of a crime, that's the most popular barroom subject. I would never commit murder. Never say never. What if your daughter or son were abused? I always had an answer that I had to explain to my kids that I would still not murder, even if my children were murdered. I wouldn't find the person and murder that person because A, I'd lose my freedom because that's a crime, and B, it wouldn't bring my child back. So what exactly is it, revenge? Listen, if I have Madeline Stone near me and Kevin Costner, I'll think about it. Short of that, no revenge. In this town in India, the father isn't getting revenge, he's getting justice. And getting justice in a place where it's not the focus is the equivalent of what it is to single-handedly, spoiler alert, kill a tiger. Do you think there's anyone who can single-handedly kill a tiger? That's the kind of odds. If you have the time, no one has the time. If you're willing to make the time, the documentary, I believe, is on Netflix, but don't quote me. It's called To Kill a Tiger. It will make you think. Some people will make drink. And it will inform your view of what goes on in the world outside of the four corners of your small piece of it. And I'm the same as you, the same small four-cornered piece. And it did not ever occur to me what goes on in that village in India. Let's talk about the Oakland A's. Who would think the number of people watching the show? So many people for now from Oakland and Sacramento. Thank you. Welcome to Nothing Personal. Keep listening for non-Oakland A stuff because believe it or not, we cover a ton of stuff, ton of topics, but I'm getting back to the Oakland situation because yesterday was a big day. A meeting, all hands on deck. When you hear that in your office, you know there's a crisis. All hands on deck meeting. Let's go. Drop what you're doing. You know, when you're told to drop what you're doing, either you're dropping and rolling because there's a fire, stop, drop, and roll, or you know, maybe that's where it comes from. Coca, Hannah, I just had this epiphany. In a fire, you're supposed to stop, drop, and roll. And when you're putting out a fire at a company or in your family, you're supposed to stop and drop what you're doing. And some people would say, hey, we might as well roll. That'll make it better. The A's got together with Oakland and the mayor, who had leaked prior to the meeting what the meeting was about. It was about an extension to play the interim period in Oakland because the A's have to find a place to play in the interim period, and it's not going to be Oakland. But they have to pretend it's going to be Oakland, so they're having meetings, and Oakland, to their credit, is making what they think is a real offer to Oakland to stay in Oakland for the next 5 years or 3 years, whatever it is, till a new stadium opens. And no, for you people at David P. Sampson on Twitter, it doesn't mean that I am positive that the A's are moving to Vegas. It still doesn't, because I'm not. Side note, the Tropicana being raised does not mean it's incorrectly being reported that they are raising the Tropicana for a ballpark. That may be the result. There'll be a ballpark in that area, but that's not why they're raising the Tropicana. Yes, with a Z, not what you do with the C-H-I-L-D. So Oakland said, we'd love you to stay here in the interim period. Just give us $97 million. Oakland had countered like with $17 million over two, which is still an overpay because they're paying $1.5 million. But they go to this meeting, and I would like to do a meeting. Not a phone call meeting. They did this one in person. They didn't say where it was, but if I'm the government of Oakland, I am making Fisher and Cavill, although I wonder whether they were even in the meeting. Did you get a report on that, Coca? I'll bet you a dollar Fisher was not in the meeting, and I will say that the president was. If the president was not in the meeting, that is really not doing your job. But the owner doesn't need to go to meetings like that, so I'm going to say that John Fisher was not in the meeting. So they walk in. So you don't think Fisher or the mayor were in the meeting, so they keep them out. That is normal standard, but I'm trying to find out if the team president was. We did most of our meetings with the county executives and then the commissioners in a sunshine way, one at a time. The lawyers, the mayor would come in and out once in a while. So here's how the meeting starts. You walk in, and remember the rancor that exists between Oakland and the A's. Remember that the A's are getting absolutely ravaged in the press because A, their team really stinks, but B, no one's going to the games. Any little thing that's happening around Oakland and the A's, whether it's player movement, which we may get to later today, whether it is announced attendance, whether it's game results, whether it's stadium related, everything's negative. And here you've got the mayor telling her staff, here's our plan. We're going to make it really hard for the A's not to stay here in the interim period because we think that is our best bet to convince baseball that we are a major league city, that we deserve expansion if they go to Vegas, or if Vegas falls apart, that we will get the deal done and the team will just stay in Oakland. It's way better to negotiate that when they're playing in the Coliseum than if they're playing in Sacramento. So I want you to walk into the meeting, the mayor said to her staff, and I want you to go in and I want you to really try to make a deal. Well, Madam Mayor, what are the provisions? Simple, $97 million. But Madam Mayor, before we go into the meeting, you know that that's not how you start a negotiation. Hey, how much do you want for your house when you're looking for a house in like the $400,000 to $600,000 range? And you speak to your non-independent mortgage broker and you say, hey, how much is that house you just showed me? Oh, that one was $8 million. What? Like, why are you showing me that? I told you I want a $400,000 to $600,000 house. It's like when you go clothes shopping. Oh, I want to spend $50 on a shirt. Oh, let me help you right here. Look at this great shirt. It's $120. Some people say that's upselling. I like where your head's at. I'm okay with an upsell within reason. 600 grand to 8 million, not within reason. $120 shirt when a $50 budget, within reason. I'm going to do the upsell. The bid and the ask in a rent situation of 17 million to 97 million, not reasonable. There is no one on the mayor's staff who, when the mayor said, hey, I want you to go offer this, said, oh, mayor, I think we got the makings of a deal here. It's going to be great. Meanwhile, the mayor should have been working on a statement what to do after the meeting, because once they start the meeting, they sit down and the A's officials say, hey, good to see you again. Just curious, can you show us the piece of paper that you leaked to ESPN? That's how I would start the meeting. I just want to make sure. I did my homework based on what I read on ESPN, but I just want to make sure. Is that the actual offer that was leaked? Or do you have an actual bona fide offer that is something we can contemplate? Because the Oakland A's said during the meeting before they sat down and started with the first pastry, said, if you're about to present an offer that is what was leaked to ESPN, let me be the first to tell you, no, it's a non-starter. NGTH, baby. We're not paying $97 million. So they sit down in the meeting. They sit across the diamond-shaped table. Hey, good to see everyone again. You start with the little pleasantries. How's your week going? How was your weekend? What are, any good plans? Hey, how do you feel about the start to your season? Wink, wink. You could always have staff members do that. I used to love that when we were negotiating for our ballpark, that in meetings, people would be commenting on what we were doing that particular year as though it mattered. I said, listen, when this new ballpark opens, there'll maybe three people on this team that will be on that team. And that has nothing to do with us being the Marlins. When the Yankees open a new ballpark, they've got the same turnover the Marlins do. Don't ask me about which players will be in the new stadium. Don't ask me how we're performing this year. Who actually gives a tinker's god darn it? Nobody. But it's an icebreaker. Hey, tough loss last night. Maybe that's how they started the meeting. So then Oakland representatives, team representatives say, all right, let's get to it. I don't even want to get to the other stuff. Don't even get to it. There's two ways to negotiate, Coca, side note, two ways. You have an issues list and you have categories of issues, big, medium, small. I had a fourth category, deal breaker. I had a fifth category, other side's deal breaker. I like to keep track. Like, where are we a definite no? Where do we pretend we're a no, but we're a yes? Where are they a definite no? And where do they pretend to be a no when they're going to end up being a yes? So important to know those facts. Do you think that anyone on the public side thought that $97 million was a possible rent payment? Do you think the A's during the meeting actually had to say no to that officially? I would have, the way I would have approached this negotiation, very simply. I would have started with, is that what your offer is? Yes. I would have said, thank you. It would not be productive to continue this meeting. When you have a more reasonable offer to stay in Oakland in the interim period before we move to Vegas and really break your heart, let us know. Until then, we're going to fly to Sacramento or drive to Sacramento. I wish I knew. Then I would have not fumbled that. I don't know how far away Oakland and Sacramento are. One's north and one's further north. If I'm the Oakland Athletics, I walk out of the meeting. There are certain positions that I need the other side to know. Do not waste my time. I will not spend a minute on this. Now, the city officials could have said the same thing. What are you even doing here? We'd like to offer you, and here's what I would have done, the irony of ironies. I want to sniff out the other side. I want to call their bluff. I want to leak to ESPN that all we're asking for you to play in the interim period because we want this for our fans. All we're asking is for the same rent payment you've been paying, $1.5 million per year. We'd like you to sell your share of the Coliseum. Fine. We'd like you to help defray the costs of hosting the other teams at the Coliseum. Margin, that stuff on the margins. Easy to negotiate. Piece of cake. It's the rent payment that's the big deal. Wouldn't it have been great if the city of Oakland had called the bluff? Because the rumor is and the thought is that Oakland has a deal with Sacramento anyway. And when you offer $97 million, you make it so easy for Oakland A's to say no, which is what they did. They even released a statement after the meeting. We appreciate Oakland's engagement. That's lovely. It makes me, I have a little tear in my eye. We appreciate Oakland's engagement, the club said. And also, we're far apart on the terms needed to agree on an extension. I love that. That was short, sweet, to the point. Let it be known, we will not be paying $97 million. Baseball won't let us, and we wouldn't do it anyway. So while we appreciate your engagement, we're still too far apart to talk. I would have had a different statement if I'm the Oakland A's. We were very happy to sit down with the officials of Oakland However, there was really no reason to, because we really are leaving. How about that? It's just a straightforward, honest approach. Or go the other way. Hey, we needed this as leverage for Sacramento and our TV deal in Sacramento because we're giving up $67 million in TV revenue if we leave Oakland, and we don't have that yet from Sacramento, but we're working with our RSM partner to see if they can get close to that in Sacramento. Stay tuned. You're not hiding anything. Everything's out in the open, what the issues are during these negotiations. I think it'd be great if one of the statements were that simple. Then the Sacramento mayor piped in. Love that. Sacramento mayor is a smart, smart person. Daryl Steinberg. He wanted to make sure that he let you know that Sacramento is a great place for Major League Baseball. They're ready for Major League Baseball. Even on an interim basis, they're ready to prove that they can have it on a full-time basis. All the stuff we've talked about. And he was smart enough to say, let me be clear, though. Oakland is the best choice. The team should remain in Oakland. It's my hope that they remain in Oakland. And second to Oakland, we're here for you. If it can't be Oakland, let it be Sacramento. John, Paul, Ringo, and George put it best. Let it be. Too often people do not. Nothing personal pick of the day. Josh Hader blew a save and we lost. We had Valdez and the Astros over the Blue Jays. They were winning. Valdez pitched great after his tough first start. Josh Hader now has two losses and a blown save. And the Houston Astros are 1-5. I am not panicked about the Astros, as I'm not telling you that Pittsburgh or Detroit are going to be in the playoffs. It's E-A-R-L-Y. That said, we got absolutely destroyed with our pick of the day. Coke, I got to start doing maybe the first five innings. On CBS Sports HQ, we do that. We absolutely can do that on DraftKings, I assume. Does DraftKings have a first five? Because getting screwed with the ninth inning walk-offs or the errors, it's enough to make me gray. I'll wait for your answer about whether we can do first five. I wonder whether Jim Crane is anxious about the Astros start. With his first time, they threw the no-hitter against the Blue Jays 2 days ago and then lose on a blown save by Hader, who was signed to compliment Presley in the bullpen. As a matter of fact, Ryan Presley, the greatest postseason closer of all time, was told, you're not the closer anymore. It's just going to be Josh Hader, because Josh Hader said, hey, I'm not a hater or anything, but I'm a closer. Well, he's not exactly been that. Jim Crane is not known for his patience. But guess what he can't do? So for all of you who are going to write articles, if the Astros even start 10-50, which obviously is not going to happen, Jim Crane cannot and will not fire Joe Espada. Could he be a one and done if the Astros lose 100 games this year? No, he won't be. Because the players that Joe Espada has are the aging roster and the aging players of this great dynasty that was built and had Hinch and then Baker and now Espada. As much as I like to blame managers, which I do. First-year managers are tough. We knew some of our first-year managers weren't going to make it, and it had nothing to do with the one-loss record. So in New York, if you're thinking about their new tandem of Stearns and Mendoza, because the Mets are off to such a horrible start. I don't know if they've won a game yet. I think the Mets and Marlins have not won a game, and the Tigers and Pirates have not lost a game. So I think there's four teams left who are either undefeated or always defeated. I think the word that I was looking for was winless. Thank you very much, Coca. I found that when I was questioning my manager early, it wasn't results-based, it was process-based. And I knew early on whether or not a manager was going to work out for me, because we don't play the result. That's what fans do, and that's what columnists do who do hot seats. Hey, is Carlos Mendoza on the hot seat already? What about Joe Espada? Has Aaron Boone made his seat cold through the hot Yankee start? Actual presidents and GMs don't look at it that way. Steinbrenner and Cashman know what Boone is about. They're waiting for the results of the whole season, because you will not remember. You can hear me now and listen to me later. You will not remember the Houston started 1-5 or that the Yankees started 5-1. You won't remember the Pirates started 5-0 or that the Marlins started 0-6. You're just not going to remember it. This season will play out. The teams, the majority of them, will win between 70 and 90 games. There'll be a few outliers like the Oakland A's. And the evaluation of the first-year manager is not, man, we can't win a game. I want to fire you, Joe, or Carlos, you're the worst. We don't do that. Something completely different. Think about how it would be if executives always played the results. All of the random stuff that happens in a sporting event. Josh Hader gave it up last night. Is that Joe Espada's fault? As much as I always blame the manager, is that his fault? Is Carlos Mendoza to blame for the fact that yet again, the Mets can't hit and can't score to start a season? It's a different guy running spring training, so it can't be the spring training drills or the preparedness in spring training. This is baseball. Every single team will have a 1-5 stretch during the season, including teams that win 100. And every single team will have a 3-0 stretch or a 5-0 stretch, because that's baseball. It's okay. Everyone, stay calm. And remember, it's just business. We'll be back tomorrow live. But I will not be where I am now. This is nothing personal.